28 minutes past nine. It's been a tough few years for Dylan Dunn, who's now 27, former champion apprentice. A lot of injury, weight-related things. It's been a really hard road. And now Dylan has made a very interesting decision about how to play out the next chapter of his life and career. And he joins us to tell all. How are you, Dylan?
I'm really well, Matty. How are you?
Not bad, mate. It has been a tough few years, hasn't it? I mean, the weight issues, the injuries. It's a tough road for a jockey sometimes, isn't it?
Yeah, look, no doubt. It's definitely got its challenges, but it's got plenty of highs as well to go along with it. So I suppose as long as you're riding winners, you're getting that extra bit of adrenaline to keep you moving forward. But unfortunately, back in October, I had an injury at Caulfield, which left me with a broken fib. And that really set me back. I had to have plates and surgery done on that ankle. And sort of in my recovery, I had very limited flexibility in the ankle. And any time I tried to do physical activity, it just blew up. So I made the decision to have those plates removed, which was done on Tuesday.
Yep.
And now I'm just parked up in bed trying to wait for that to heal.
So the announcement you're going to that you've decided upon is to do dual licence, riding and training. So just with the first bit of it, the riding bit, what's the timeline now for returning to the saddle, race riding?
Yeah, so that's still a little bit up in the air at this stage, just because I don't know how this angle is going to play out. But ideally, I'm sort of limited to what I can do for the next 2 to 4 weeks, and then I can start to get my fitness back, return to track work, and realistically, I would like to be back before spring and try and hit the ground running and see what I can achieve. Obviously, with that transition period to becoming a trainer, I think my riding's probably going to be hindered a little bit because training will be my main focus. So anything that I can sort of achieve this spring will probably be a benefit and maybe my last.
Well, you know, Jackie Berryman, others have done it. I think even Linda Meach, is she a dual licence holder now? So it's something that others are doing. I read a story in News Limited about where you were sort of hinting at things. One of the hints was you might look to start training in the southeast. Is that it feels like a Pakenham situation. Where do you think you'll set yourself up?
Yeah, look, Matty, I can't really disclose too much of that just yet. Obviously, there has been a few hints, and yes, it'll be in the southeast of Victoria. But I'm just going through the process of signing contracts, and there can be quite a long wait to get into some of these tracks, so I can't say too much. But look, I'm really excited about the opportunity to get out there and get training. I think I've had a really good grounding. You know, I've been able to have the opportunity to get into a lot of different stables and see how they operate, along with also being able to place different styles of horses, whether that's trying to get a horse to win its maiden or try and get a horse all the way to Group 1 level. So, you know, there's no doubt there's going to be a lot of different parts of the business that I'm going to need to learn and perfect, but I think, like I said, I've got that good grounding behind me. I do have a lot of connections within the industry, and I'm willing to work hard. So over the next 12 months, it's no doubt going to be a challenge, but I've looked at securing a brand new facility. So as soon as those horses get in there, they'll be well looked after and have the best of that side of things, as well as I've also got a 20-acre spelling and pre-training farm where post-race, I'll look to try and get my horses to spell and refresh for a couple of days before getting back in the training.
Well, you look at the Reece Goodwins and Gavin Bedgoods and how they've tapped into the English online market and done so well there. So there are avenues there, but it is overwhelmingly difficult. There are staff issues, running a business issues, and so on. And I know you've boned up on a fair bit of that sort of stuff as well with your sort of higher education type stuff in recent years.
Yeah, look, no doubt, sort of just the way the world is at the minute, there's a lot of economic issues going on, and sort of the future for Australia is still a little bit unknown. So, you know, that's played a little bit in the back of my mind, but I think anyone who's made money in the world will tell you this is probably the best time to buy. So that's not really fazing me too much. I think, you know, as long as I can provide the best service possible for my clients and, you know, make sure the welfare of the thoroughbreds are really looked after, I think the rest of it will sort of look after itself. You know, no doubt the first sort of 6 to 12 months financially might be a little bit of a struggle just to make sure everything's running smoothly and tight. But, you know, I, I may look at other avenues of investment or, you know, business loans. So I'm not worried about that. Like I said, I just want to offer the best service possible to my clients and go from there. But you say it's hard for a lot of young trainers coming through, especially with that tried horse sales and whatnot. I think the prices are probably a little bit inflated at the minute, which is definitely not making things any easier. And when you go to the sales, you really need to be opening the wallet to your best you can. So I think if we can get the right sort of syndication groups and bloodstocks behind us, I think that's going to be a big kick.
Can you get the old man on a shovel at 4 a.m. in the stables? Or?
Yeah, unfortunately, he's still going through a concussion program at the Epworth, but you know, the door would always be open for him to come down that avenue at some stage, but at this stage, there's no plan on that happening. I think it'll be a great tool, though, in my back pocket that I can always count on for any sort of advice.
Well, if it ever becomes done and done, it sounds like an accounting firm, like, or a high-end legal firm. It's got a nice ring to it. What are some of the important things you're going to have to nail early? Is it helpful or even vital to get a syndicator on board?
Yeah, no doubt. I think you really need to inject a couple of key horses into your stable early to sort of hit the ground running and make a presence for yourself. Like I said, I've been lucky enough to deal with a lot of those big syndication groups, and I've ridden plenty of winners for them. So I will hopefully get some sort of backing, but the only hard issue when I'm kicking off is a lot of those two-year-olds have already been allocated stables, so it might be a case of needing to pre-train for a little bit for another stable to fill some boxes, you know, have a combination of a few young horses, tried horses, and then next year when those sales come around, then I can sort of jump into the pockets of a few of those syndicators and ask them to allocate me a couple of horses the following season. But yeah, no doubt. It's just going to be like any business. Just take its time and, you know, sort of iron out all the nooks and crannies.
Would you like to train a stayer or a sprinter? It's funny talking to trainers about, you know, a lot of them say, oh, it's not that hard to train a sprinter, but the art form is the stayer. And I imagine you've ridden a lot of winners of both types of horse. Is there a kind of a dream horse scenario for you that you'd like to get your hands on? Bayeed has already got a trainer. Sadly, he's not available.
Yeah, look, there's a few horses out there that I'd definitely like to pin up, but I don't want to really put myself in a corner at this stage. I'm just going to sort of find my feet, and whether that ends up being more of sprinters and stayers, so be it. But I would like to say that my stable will be able to sort of cater for all styles of horses, and, you know, it's just one of those things. You really need to judge the horse as an individual rather than just their pedigree. I've had plenty of horses that I've ridden in the past that on paper they should be an outright stayer, but they actually show a good turn of foot, and, you know, they're the type of horses that you can win first up over a mile and gradually get them out to the distance their pedigree says. But in terms of sprinter or stayer, no real preference.
I remember speaking at least once to your dad about the frustration of just how things just didn't quite work out in recent years, and how he really felt for you because you were such a superstar apprentice, and then the weight issue and so on, and you were riding a lot around the countryside when all of us knew that you belonged in town, but it just wasn't the way the system worked out. And then the injuries as well. 270 winners, six rides for six winners at Colac in 2019. I mean, that's how much you maximise those opportunities. But was it? Do you think there's still an opportunity for you to put yourself where you belong, and that's riding regularly in town?
Yeah, no doubt. There's obviously, I don't think there's any questioning the ability that I had or do have. It's just the weight scale, unfortunately. And when I was an apprentice, I was riding the 54, 55 kilos and was consistently riding winners in town, and eventually had the opportunity to ride in multiple group ones. So whilst you're an apprentice and you do get those sort of opportunities, I think that sort of just goes to show what capabilities you could have when you hit that senior level. And I've said to my old man multiple times, I feel like I'm such a better rider now than what I was as an apprentice, but I just can't seem to get the momentum that you need to get consistently in town. And look, yeah, I'm still riding my 20 to 30 horses a week in the country, and like you say, I rode the 6 out of six winners at Colac, but to me, that's not really where I want to be. And I know I'm always going to be sort of hindered with that weight issue. So I don't want to go, oh, poor Dylan, you know, I should have been this or that. You know, just like anything, you just got to restructure and hopefully training's where I'll be able to get to that level and consistently perform with the best.
Yeah, no. Well, good luck with it, mate. Fingers crossed it all works out. And with the riding as well. Like, you're a beautiful rider when you're in full flight, and hopefully we get to see a bit more of that as well. Be nice if you could ride one of your own beautifully and win a Cox Plate or something like that. Well, that's the dream anyway. Good luck, mate, and good luck to your old man as well. Haven't spoken to him for a while. Fingers crossed that things are working out well for him as well.
Yeah, no, absolutely, Matty. I appreciate all the support from the industry since announcing that I'm going training. I've had a lot of backers come and support me, so I really appreciate it.
Good on you, mate. Good luck.
Thank you.